And welcome in. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome into the lowdown. I'm Damian Barling, along with the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, Jason H.W. Ross. It is Monday, December 4th. And again, we thank you so much for being here with us. Plenty to get to today. Best and worst of the weekend. We do that every single Monday. We'd love to hear yours on the phone lines, 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. And the text line is back up and running. You can get with us at 44-1140. Send your thoughts on everything there. We'll talk Sacramento Kings in the 1 o'clock hour. We will touch on every major NFL story. Man, Ben McAdoo was fired. Jerry Reese was fired. And people are talking like this is news. If you were tuned into the lowdown on Friday, we told you this was going to happen. We told you Ben McAdoo wouldn't make it past Sunday. And he said, hey, I'm going to coach as long as my key card works. Your key card don't work no more, player. You out. You gone.
I was wondering if they would just keep his key card working.
That'd be
But
funny.
We just don't want you working.
You can come around the building if you like. You know you're hated here, though, right? You suspended two players. You benched a quarterback that was universally respected. Here's the problem. Why didn't John Mara do this a couple of days ago?
100% agree with you. This wasn't about yesterday, right? Nothing to do with yesterday.
That's what he says. It doesn't have anything to do with Eli. That's what he said. Maybe you're talking about game performance.
Performance.
Yeah, no, because truth is they weren't embarrassing yesterday.
No.
Geno wasn't embarrassing. This has to do with benching Eli. This has to do with
everything.
Right.
Yeah.
This has to do with the inability to score 30 points for 2 years. This has to do with the two players that you suspended throughout the course of the year. How many games are left? Four? Like three of your next four games are at home.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the crowd was going to greet him? There was a report on Pro Football Talk yesterday that there were a bunch of former Giants were going to be at the Cowboys game on Sunday in Eli Manning jerseys. So was Eli starting?
In one sense, I hope so. In another sense, that's really cruel. And not that it's anybody's fault if Spagnuolo decides to do that. It just illustrates how wrong this whole last week was. But it's not just last week. It's everything before that.
NFL just needs to step in and say, you know what? It's good. It's 211.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Well, if you want, we'll put an asterisk, but it's 211.
Coaching Mulligan, you're fine. You weren't going to get hurt. Although, I don't think there is a more demoralizing play. I don't know. There's something about a strip sack that I feel is like so demasculating. Like,
that was a different version of it, though. He's like, just that's my ball and I'm taking
that's
it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Instead, like sometimes it's just like a guy flies through and hits the ball.
It's not it's the like, ball go the ball gets loose, the ball's on the ground. Khalil Mack went in there and said, fool, give me my ball.
Yeah.
And took it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a more like
that was big brother, little brother.
Oh, that is so demoralizing.
Yeah.
This is my ball.
Mm-hmm.
I am a bigger man than you. He just took it from him.
That's my ball. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. You can have
that's
it.
My ball, punk.
You can have it.
What chain?
Yeah.
Dropping all the Debo references I can think of, man, because that's what Khalil Mack looked like yesterday against the New York Giants. And boy, oh boy, is the AFC West a mess. And that's where we will begin. The Chargers, as expected, win.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, as expected, win. And the Chiefs, as expected, opened up their playbook. Tyreek Hill just shy of 200 yards. Alex Smith back to throwing deep passes, 300-plus yards. Yet, they still managed to lose. And here we are, three teams. How do you feel if you're the Denver Broncos, by the way? Your entire division is wide open, and here you are sitting at your eighth straight loss. Why the Chargers? Were the Chargers 0-4?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
And gone 6-2 since. Yeah, if the Broncos just, I don't know, have two other wins on just days where it doesn't even have to be in the division, they'd be in it. But they are such a mess that they're not. And, yesterday, the first time I clicked in on football, I missed like about the first half hour of the 10 o'clock games. And I go, whoa, okay, Chiefs, I see you, 14-0.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so much for me thinking that they might lose to New York, but that's okay. Chiefs will win, Raiders you win, Chargers win, it'll still be a fun finish. And then that game continued. And the Chiefs invented some more problems this week. Like that, you said it. They opened up the playbook. Alex Smith was good. Can't talk about playing Pat Mahomes. It just all of a sudden the defense can't stop anybody.
Penalty after penalty after penalty. It's such a sports cliche to say, oh, they shot themselves in the foot. No, they shot themselves in a more dangerous spot than the foot. Like they just kept putting themselves in horrible positions. And in the stat you'd never thought you'd hear in your entire existence, the Kansas City Chiefs rushed for 112 yards. 70 of those belong to Alex Smith.
Yeah, on one run.
One run.
Yep.
70 yards. That's pretty much the epitome of the Kansas City Chiefs over the last 6-7 weeks or so.
Yeah, and Josh McCown lit them up. They bring in Revis. I mean, they're desperate right now. They are trying absolutely everything from a team that just, again, this is how funny the NFL can be and how quickly it can change. 5-0, clearly looking like the best team. The most balanced offense, defense, everything is looking good. To now 6-6 with losses to both New York teams, losses every which way possible, and they have more than opened the door. And now you're not only thinking, like, will they win again?
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly can change it around and still win the division.
Talent's still the same, right?
It is.
They didn't trade anybody?
Nope.
Kareem Hunt's still there. That's the guy. That's the guy we were marveling at week one.
Alex Smith, early half-quarter season MVP, still there.
If this was college football, and we'll get to that as well. If this was college football, how bad does the Patriots' loss in week one look now? Boy, the committee would be using that one against the Patriots.
Yes, they would.
If there was a such thing as an NFL playoff football committee, something along those lines. We will get to that. Clemson versus Bama, Oklahoma versus Georgia. Lots of conversation before those four teams were revealed, and it wasn't four teams. I mean, come on, we're talking about one team. There was a lot of conversation before Alabama was revealed as the number four seed, and a lot of conversation after Alabama was revealed as the number four seed. But we will get to all that. As I mentioned, best and worst of the weekend. So happy to have the text line back up and running here at 44-1140. You could reach out to us, our resident Broncos fan, Gordon. While we're talking about the AFC West, you want a little therapy session, buddy?
I need some serious therapy. How is Vance Joseph still a coach?
Well, it's first year? Like, he, first year, he doesn't have a quarterback. He's got three quarterbacks, doesn't have one.
Adam Gase just, like, sucker punched John Elway, like, hey, you know, this is what you get for not, you know, doing me wrong, when you didn't resign me in 2014.
Denver historically leans defense, don't they?
That was a joke, man. You know, we're since 67 on the verge of losing 9 in a row. It's pitiful.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. The Broncos aren't, because Von Miller's still there, right? Okay, just making sure.
Von Miller. Yeah, we need a coach, we need a quarterback, and we need an O-line.
And then you'll be right there.
Sounds fine.
You'll be right in it.
Quick fix.
And we need a defensive coordinator.
That one's maybe tough. That's a fourth wish.
I mean, come on. Who gets four wishes? Like, you've never heard of a genie granting four
That's
wishes.
Too much.
Come on, Gordon.
You can ask for a miracle, right?
You could. Hang in there, buddy. We appreciate you. I think nine might be on the way, my man, but hang in there.
Find that four-wish genie.
Yeah, you know, you can always call for a little therapy, Gordon. We love you, buddy. How's it worse right now, Broncos or Chiefs?
Broncos.
Sure?
Yeah, because the Chiefs, honestly.
The Chiefs were there.
They were.
And now you're trying to figure out why. Denver, you know why, don't you?
Personnel, right?
That would have been my question, my guess, too. Like, personnel?
Yeah.
That would have been my guess.
Because quarterbacks. Still, the defense is similar. No fly zone. All those guys are there.
And with respect to CJ and Booker there, like, it's not you know, in defense of – it's going to be really difficult. You have to be a very special running back to be great and not have a quarterback back there.
Yes.
That's exceptional. Those guys aren't that. And – no team that plays defense against the Denver Broncos is playing to stop the pass.
Yeah. I just still think they had the right quarterback at the beginning, Simeon. And I don't know that they're playoff bound. Well, what
are you talking about? The best of the lot?
Three, yeah. I think he was. But
was Brock there at the beginning of the year? Did that happen during the year, didn't it? Or did that happen?
I think it happened at the beginning of the year.
Did it?
I think so. I don't know. I don't like to pay attention to Brock.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough, J. Ross. We'll take that. Yeah, Josh McCown is not the quarterback you want if you're trying to lose games.
Right.
That guy's winning. The guy's winning. All 38 years of him is winning some football games.
They're for well over
they're
three.
They're 5-7.
I know. One more. I mean, I was thinking about that yesterday. It's like, oh, man, bad loss losing to the Jets. I went, wait, they almost have the same record as the Chiefs. Like, why are we just, you know, the Jets have – we had them in a spot that we thought they would be, and they clearly haven't been that team this year. And then even their other losses in the last, I don't know, a handful of weeks, they've been competitive.
Yeah.
Best team in New York.
Fact.
Yeah.
Absolute fact.
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
What do we got here? So happy to see this text line back up. Oh, text line coming back strong, too. 44-11-40 here. Let's see. Marcus Peters' feet looks like he literally shot them. That's true. Mm. Marcus' feet, when he came running. That first, look, I don't condone it, but I'll give you a little sneak peek to my best of the weekend. That was funny.
I saw that was on your list. I went, all right, okay.
That made me laugh. Yeah. Like, I get, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm livid.
Right.
Right. And then Chris sent us a tweet that said it has the highlight of the play, and it says, okay, it shows him throwing the yellow flag into the stands, and the tweet says, okay, now NFL players are disrespecting the flag.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yes.
That made me laugh. And, yeah, Marcus Pete, man, it's amazing how different a football player looks like when he comes out with his socks off.
Uh-huh.
I kept looking at it like, why does he – what is wrong with him right now? He does look like he got shot in his feet. Alex Smith to Jacksonville. I don't know what to do with Alex Smith right now. He's not going to Jacksonville this year. I assume you're talking about the offseason. Does Patrick Mahomes play?
I guess. I mean, that could be the next switch. I mean, again, I don't.
Can you really do that, though, at 6-6?
Oh, no, now? Oh, no. It's still Alex.
I'm not talking about next year.
Oh,
I'm talking about this year.
Not unless there's an injury. No, to me, it's still Alex.
But if they miss out.
Yeah.
Is this Andy? Are we talking Andy Reid's job right now?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either, but if they can't get themselves back.
Like it's a 7-9 year or something all of a sudden.
No.
6-10.
I mean 6-10 obviously is that's things went catastrophic.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's say 7-9 and although it might be, let's assume that's not good enough to make the playoffs. Aren't you calling into question because they were what, 6-0, 5-0?
5-0.
Aren't you calling into question, why didn't you make the change sooner? You went 2-0.
But you're saying the quarterback's the problem.
I personally don't think that.
I don't either.
And I'll go back to what I said to you on Friday. Alex Smith, I feel like what was working for Alex Smith at the beginning of the year, I feel like they closed the playbook on him.
Right.
And they opened it back up. We called it a get-right game on Friday. I think the Chiefs are going to have a get-right game. Well, they did. Offensively.
Right.
Friday, if I say to you, Jason, Chiefs are going to get right, just like the Cowboys did. They can't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Alex Smith is going to throw for 4 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill is going to have 185 yards. Travis Kelce is going to approach 100 yards.
They win by double digits.
Easy.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the Chiefs is that what is the problem? It's been something different every week. So this week it was defense, secondary. I mean, they brought in Darrell Revis. What has he done for 2+ years? So they are searching. They are scratching, clawing. They go against the Jets offense, which isn't that dynamic. McCown lit him up. The run game has gone away. Some weeks it's been Alex Smith. Not every week. But the fact that they have left this door so wide open for now, the Raiders and the Chargers, who all three are in first place, when the Raiders have been playing at probably a C-minus level for the season, the Chargers got off to a terrible start and are right back in it. It's just absolutely amazing. And the Chiefs still play both of them, though, in the final four games, and they kind of control – every team controls their own destiny in this situation because they're all tied. Raiders went out, they'll be in first. Chargers went out, they'll be in first. And the Chiefs play both of them, too, so they can do the same.
Well, the AFC is the AFC West is an absolute mess. But, hey, Raiders, here you are. You're in it. You're in the conversation. And there's one thing I love, Jason, and you and I talk about this privately all the time, and I'll share this with you. We love this time that we work because rarely does a day go by that we don't get some sort of news pop up in the middle of a conversation. And this one pertains to your beloved UCLA Bruins.
I haven't seen this yet.
I know you haven't. LeAngelo LiAngelo Ball won't return to UCLA after Daddy Ball pulls him from school amid suspension for shoplifting in China.
Bye, Felicia.
He's the worst of the Ball brothers, right?
Yeah, if that's fair, but that's what people say. I don't even know, but that's what people say about him. Okay.
It doesn't matter in the scheme of things for the UCLA.
Not for the basketball team. Not for this current team. And what's interesting is I think another element of that story became an element of the story because of the Ball family, right?
Yep.
I mean, that was the name people knew amongst the three. He was the worst player amongst the three.
Yeah.
Dad become, you know, gets into it with the press. I mean, it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. Yeah, that's
well,
fine.
Bye. So now what? What does LiAngelo do now?
I don't know.
He's not getting drafted. Like, he's not playing for the Lakers.
His dad said he was, and he was going to win a championship with the Lakers, with his other brothers.
Did you see? There's a LeVar Ball rule.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Can Jerry Jones use that for
Can
himself?
Can we use that on Jerry Jones? Yeah. Can we call it the Jerry Jones rule?
We just need to interview coaches and players. That's it.
Yeah.
Even though he is
the
manager.
General manager.
But
what other general
year,
manager?
Before the year, at the end of the year, or if you made a trade. That's when you need to be talked to, and we need to hear from you, right? But if you don't make a, you know, we don't need to check in with Vlade Divac every day. We don't need to check in with Reggie McKenzie every day. He makes a big trade. Yeah, we need to hear from him. You make a coaching change, we should hear from him. Other than that, nope.
I'm so happy to have the text line back. Let's do an impromptu text poll. More annoying, LeVar or Jerry?
Oh, I think I know.
44-11-40. Who's more annoying, LeVar or Jerry?
Okay. I'm going to tell you who I think wins. I'm going to write it down over here.
Okay, you jot down who you think wins. We'll do this till we'll do this for another 5 or 6 minutes or so. Okay. Oh,
that's what I think.
Okay.
But we'll see.
All right. Who's more annoying? 44-11-40, LeVar or Jerry? Name another general manager that doesn't coach or doesn't have the title of player personnel that talks every single week, because Bill Belichick technically has both titles.
He still talks less.
I don't know. Andy Reid doesn't, right? Not
no,
in Kansas City.
No.
He did in Philadelphia, but not in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't think he's the guy there.
Okay, so really we're talking Jerry's not the coach, so we're talking Bill. I'm not talking about anybody else that I can think of off the top of my head. No one else. No one else does it. But there he is, front and center, diagnosing injuries, diagnosing concussions, diagnosing everything.
Yep.
Quarterback play, running back play. We're so proud of this.
He loves
it. We're so proud of that. Oh, your prediction is right. You know what's funny about the text line, too, is people who have iPhones and they send it with an effect. We can't get the effect because we're looking at a computer
like
screen.
Like an emoji or whatever?
No, not an emoji, but with an iPhone, you can send, like, fireworks with your message,
yeah.
Or you can send, like, an echo with your message. When we get those, it says sent with echo, sent with fireworks, because we can't actually see him. So Jason's in this boy.
Is it a landslide at the moment?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
It's not even close.
And I was right on it?
You
or
were
no?
right.
Okay.
LeVar Ball. And it's not. It's not. I guess. Oh,
like
yeah.
Like Jerry bothers
And you know what?
Me?
You know what's funny is they all say LeVar by far. Few people just wrote LeVar. Everybody wrote LeVar by far.
Yeah.
LeVar by a landslide. LeVar, it's not even close.
That's why I put LeVar easily to you.
And that's exactly what you wrote.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jerry, I think in one sense, like for you, you're closer connected to the Cowboys being that your team. So I think he agitates you more. Not that anybody is attached to the Lakers per se, but it just LeVar is in everything.
Part of me really wants to retire from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I dislike Jerry that much. I love Dak, and I'll keep supporting Dak, but I love Russell Wilson too. And I watched Russell Wilson last night in absolute amazement.
Do you want the Seahawks though? You want that to be your team?
I don't want a team. I want to take the basketball approach.
Okay.
Where I
like individuals.
I like individuals.
Okay.
And I do root for the Kings to win, but
yeah, it's different. They're not in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to retire. I can't stand him that much. It's gotten that bad. This has been that bad of a year with him. I can't stand him.
The second he's gone, then is it?
He's not going anywhere.
Happy times? Well, I mean,
I actually think Steven will do a fantastic job running the team.
So it can stay in the family.
And I think, Steven, I don't know that Steven will want to be in the forefront like his dad is, but I know if Steven is the guy. You know, the story, there's the famous Johnny Manziel story. And it was Steve and his son who said, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. We're taking that offensive lineman who turned out to be an all-pro that year.
Yeah.
We're taking that guy. We are not taking Johnny Manziel. If that's really him, cool. I can go with that.
Yeah.
But it's so – like, every week, like, I watch them, and I'm excited during the games. I was excited to watch them win on Thursday. And then his stupid mug pops up on the TV, and it's like, ugh, you just ruined it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about other families that, you know, Mark Davis isn't the same as Al in any way. I mean, Mark is out of things. Like, you don't see him. The Steinbrenners isn't as much of a nuisance maybe as George was. So I think maybe you could have the scenario you're talking about. But who knows how long that is. That's a waste.
You guys got a new coach, a manager.
Yeah.
Whatever. How do you – Aaron Boone, right?
Yeah.
How do you – that good? Is it Aaron Bleepin' Boone?
I don't know what to think about it. Again, it's a non
– Never managed before, ever.
Now, it's in the blood. It's in the family. It's, you know, his dad and his grandpa played baseball, and his dad was a manager for a long time. But – and I know he knows baseball. It just feels like they're going away from – lifetime managers, minor league managers in baseball now.
More breaking news, and this one actually pisses me off. Rob Gronkowski suspended one game by the NFL.
Why?
That is absolute trash. He should have been suspended for the rest of the regular
season.
Oh,
okay. I thought you didn't think he was supposed to be suspended. Okay, gotcha.
No, his ass should be thrown out of the league for the next four games.
Four's a bit much.
No, it's – well, first of all, no, it's not, because you know that the way – you know that NFL punishments, unless you're a potential domestic violence abuser with absolutely no evidence to show for it, you're suspended for five or six games and it's upheld. They would have been – he could have been suspended four games and would have been plea bargained down to two. That move right there that they keep showing over and over again is the dirtiest play I've seen in the NFL this year. And I'm so sick of – I'm so – sick of I think I came up with a phrase, and I don't know if this has existed before, so if it is, forgive me for stealing it, but I think I invented this, and it's called Gronk privilege. And it's Gronk gets away with so much crap. He gets away with acting like an absolute idiot because he's an absolute idiot. And it gets passed off as, I'm listening to Rodney Harrison last night. Oh, he's a good kid with a good heart. He dove into the player's head, threw a forearm, and then he offers, we have all the audio. I was preparing this. I was saving this for later. I actually didn't think we'd get the suspension yet, because this is my worst of the weekend. That play is foul. And now my worst of the weekend is the NFL suspending him only one game. You tried to suspend Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib two games for fighting, but you preach about player safety, and you have a play like that, and you're going to suspend him one? Absolute trash. And you'll hear the lame-ass explanation that Rob Gronkowski gave for why he did what he did next. Forgot to mention there. So much going on. A couple of things here. Download the KHTK app. It's a Monday. It's a busy day. You don't want to miss any part of today's show. You don't want to miss the best of the worst, or best and the worst. Best of the worst is coming in just a few minutes, and we just kind of gave you that story with Rob Gronkowski. I have a lot more to say on that. But download the KHTK app in your app store, on your smartphone, whatever smartphone you use, whether it's iPhone or Samsung, and or if there's any other type of phone out there anymore. Go to the App Store, download it, so you can listen to us live, and you can listen to us on demand. So you'll never miss any part of the lowdown. Also, we got tickets to WWE. They're going to be back at the Golden One Center on February 10th, live on the road to WrestleMania. It's a WWE live event, much like the last one they had at the Golden One Center. And we will have those tickets for you at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. And no, Jason Ross, you cannot have them.
I know. Well, I'll get there because I'm a huge fan of all this. So I'll be there. Don't worry
about absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll find my way.
We'll, the three of us, we'll all sit together.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. And Chris will start chants that no one knows. No one will understand at all. Just like
the cool people will know.
No, that was literally no one. They actually started chanting, "We don't know what you're chanting."
Oh, a guy said that.
Oh, God. But if Chris starts chanting, then I probably will go with him and start chanting, too.
I don't recommend it.
All right.
Don't recommend it. You'll get a lot of sideways looks. I you know, looking at the text line there during that commercial break, I'm really pleased that I thought I didn't really know. I had formed this opinion watching this highlight of Gronk yesterday. I didn't see it live. I think I saw it when they went to it on the Red Zone channel or whatever it was. And I thought what bothered me more than the actual play was the fallout to it and how everybody, it's uncharacteristic. Oh, when you combine that with Tom Brady screaming at Josh McDaniels there during it's. And I think Odell Beckham either tweeted about this, wrote about it, said something about it earlier. Is there such a double standard when it comes to the Patriots? Now, I can narrow it down and say there's a double standard within the NFL, but I won't. I'll just stick with the Patriots. And Odell Beckham Jr., for example. Hell, Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant acts like either one of those two.
Right.
What's the media fallout today?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Oh, it's just Gronk. That's the way Gronk is. Cam Newton. That's funny, talking about physical routes from a female. He ain't up there making 69 jokes. Oh, but it's okay when Gronk does it because Gronk is Gronk.
Right.
Gronk out there with a cast on his arm, partying like an idiot, doing flips on a club or whatever he is. But it's okay because it's Gronk. Name another player in the league that gets away with that. Name one other player in the league that gets away with that.
Yeah, I guess what I'm surprised about is that you think he should get four games. I'm not talking about his character, any of that. Just the act, I think, was
that player,
I thought was going to be two with him trying to appeal it, maybe get to one, but it's at least it's one. He can try to appeal it, but he's good luck with that.
He was on the ground,
yep,
out of bounds. Gronk got up, went to his feet, and then jumped on top of him and threw his head into the ground. Oh, we care about player safety. Okay, we already know you're full of crap because you still have Thursday night games, but you continue to preach about player safety. We already know you're full of crap because we saw Russell Wilson go into a tent for a split second, come out of the tent, run back onto the field as if he was in concussion protocol and be patted on his ass on his way out.
Right.
But you're telling us you care about player safety. Now you have a player on one of your most prominent franchises who jumps up, drives his forearm into a player's head who's stomach first on the ground, and you suspend him one game when you just suspended two players or attempted to suspend two players the week before for fighting. And fighting we're using very loosely. What's important to you? This is why, see, week after week, I'm not surprised when I hear people say the NFL. Yeah, I hate the NFL. Like, I'm not surprised by it. I think I hate the NFL. Jason, this is absurd. And then before you jump in,
yeah,
let me play you his absolutely, I didn't set it aside, so I need to stall here for a few minutes because I didn't do what I'm supposed to do to make my audio easier to find. But I have the... I have Gronk talking post-game about his frustrations and why he did what he did. Well, first of all, he said sorry, and I guess, gosh, that's all that matters.
I definitely want to apologize to number 27. I mean, I'm not in the business of that. I mean, it was a lot of frustration, and I was just really frustrated at that moment. It just happened naturally through emotions and frustration, and I just want to apologize to Tre'Davious White. I don't really believe in type of shots like that, but just
I don't believe in them. I just do them. So yeah. A reporter asked him a question as to why he was frustrated.
What are you frustrated by, though?
At the top of the run. I mean, I felt like it was a big hole at the top, and then the throw was definitely. I mean, I felt like it kind of pushed me a little bit. I mean,
what did he just say? He pushed me. He's not even saying anything.
He pushed me a little bit.
And made the play, and I just don't understand why there wasn't a flag. And just
so I jumped on top of the guy and threw my forearm into his head.
And there's a couple times in the game, and they're calling me for the craziest stuff ever. And it's like crazy. I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they don't call that.
Get your boy. Come on, man.
Not my boy.
Gronk privilege. That's a real life thing. If he was suspended for every infraction or if he was ridiculed for every infraction, whether it's the club, whether it's the Gronk cruise, whether it's what he did last night, whether it's his constantly ridiculous behavior, oh, he'd be the most vilified player in the entire league. But no, Gronk privilege allows it to be looked at all where he's an idiot. He's conducting himself as an idiot. Bill Belichick allows him to be an idiot. So we just let it ride. Stupid, man.
Four games, though?
You care about player safety?
Well, they say they do, but they don't. You know,
well,
they don't.
Well, they don't.
Yeah.
But if you're going to throw up, you were worried about your official last week, right? Isn't that what you said about Michael Crabtree? You insinuated a melee that endangered one of our officials.
And I think the wording of their suspension, too, was this is the second incident, right? Between the same two parties, too.
Okay. Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, when was his last?
He manages to skate free.
Yeah.
They don't care about it. They're not consistent. You know what would make me feel so much better is if the NFL just came out and said, look, we're a money-making business. There's a Supreme Court hearing today in New Jersey about legalizing gambling in the state by state. We're starting this process. Goodell, and I was thinking about this too earlier, and I'm shifting topics here a little bit. Goodell, I couldn't figure out, why is Goodell resistant to gambling? And I realized it's because these players don't have guaranteed contracts. Why is Adam Silver all about it? Because he knows his players are getting paid.
Yeah, I gotta pay them more than they're making.
Right, the likelihood of them throwing a game to make pennies on the dollar compared to what they're getting paid,
exactly,
significantly small. The NFL? Oh, I can see why Roger Goodell is concerned.
They got their own issues.
But I would feel so much better if Roger Goodell came out and said, look, this is a money-making business. These guys know the risk. We don't give a good God-blessing crap if every single one of them can't walk when they're 60. Because all it is right now is you're lying to us, and you're telling us you care.
Yeah. Not
sure. Now you can't do anything about the play-to-play. We haven't gotten into that Seattle-Philadelphia game last night, but that game felt exceptionally violent. That was a hard-hitting football game. You can't do anything about that. And I know I advocate a lot for player safety, but I do understand that. I do understand on a game-to-game basis, the play-to-play basis, you can't do anything about how physical football is, or you could do very little. You can do your best. But what Gronk did yesterday, that's not that. And you can do something about that, and you're choosing not to. That's my problem.
Yeah.
That's why it should be four games. Because it's, hey, we're not putting up with this. We can't do anything about how hard you guys hit each other at the line of scrimmage. We can't do anything about how hard you guys tackle each other. But I sure as hell can do something about that. They've just chosen not to. One game suspension for Rob Gronkowski for what he did yesterday. Come on, man. Stop. We need to get into that game, though. Seattle and Philadelphia. That was fantastic. And how about Case Keenum in the second half yesterday? Absolutely phenomenal. Minnesota, buy in, Jason. Do it. Buy in. Buy in. We'll come back. We'll talk lots more NFL to get into as we continue here with the Lowdown. Remember, those WWE tickets coming up at the very top of the 2 o'clock hour. So happy to have this text line back, man. One day without you guys felt like...
You got the shakes.
It didn't feel good, man. I did not enjoy it. I told you on Friday when the text line was down, if you weren't with us on Friday, it felt like 98% of our co-hosts were gone, and it was just me and you talking to each other. Weird.
Yeah.
Although I love talking to you.
Well, thank you. There we go. Yeah, me too.
Favorite person to talk to. You know, we were ranting and raving, or I was, about the New England Patriots just a few minutes ago. They beat the Bills 23-3, proved a 10-2 on the season. The Patriots have won at least 10 games in 15 consecutive seasons. That is the second longest streak in NFL history. The first belongs to your San Francisco 49ers. 1983 to 1998, 16 straight seasons for the San Francisco 49ers. What'd you think of the Seahawks and the Eagles last night? We mentioned a few minutes ago, that game was physical.
Yeah, I was thinking about, honestly, our caller last week that was saying that Philly hasn't played anybody.
Yeah, we had a couple of them. We got reminded on Twitter. Angela was one. She reminded us, see, we are who we thought they were. And, again, if you weren't with us on Friday, we had a number of people jumping on the bandwagon of Phillies haven't played anybody yet. Phillies. Right, the Eagles haven't played anybody yet. Philly hasn't played anyone yet. and this is going to be their test.
Yeah, and I didn't leave that game thinking any differently about Philly, to be honest with you. I think I left that game thinking a little bit more about Seattle. And they can remind you every once in a while how good they can be, and Russell Wilson's pretty special. And it's a year that we have kind of already given the MVP to Wentz with maybe Brady right there.
Not so fast.
But what Wilson is doing is so valuable to that team. It's amazing.
Well, what is Wilson doing? He has accounted for 29 of the 30 offensive touchdowns that the Seattle Seahawks have scored. 29 of the 30 touchdowns. 15 of those, half. If you're bad at math, I just did it for you. 15 of those have come in the fourth quarter alone. 15 touchdowns, that's one less than Cam Newton has on the entire year in all four quarters. And it's more than 16 quarterbacks currently starting in the NFL, and it's more than 7 quarterbacks who have started the entire season. 15 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Game on the line, that's the guy you want back there. And how he continues to do this, how that defense, minus Richard Sherman, they're missing like the Legion and the Boom. They just got the heart of the whole thing with Earl Thomas back there. How they did what they did last night against the league's most powerful, to this point, offense is incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
It's just another reminder of them at home, just them overall. Though the one thing I watched that play probably four times last night, the play where Wentz is near his goal line, rolling out, pressure coming, falling down, throws, I don't know, 45, 50 yards on a line over a defender, but short of another defender to his receiver. That arm strength, I mean, that play was honestly out of this world, what Wentz did on that one. But it just, there were some fun plays, and you're right, it did feel... It felt like it was very, very intense and physical. Mm-hmm. Good game.
And that's the way I think Seattle needed to play because
they were desperate. They needed that.
They absolutely needed that game. And I think there was a certain, you guys are the new hotness, huh?
Right.
To quote Kenneth Aloysius Rudolph, you guys are the new hotness? Okay.
Yeah, it's tough to win here, guys. Mm-hmm. Check this out.
Yo, we keep hearing, well, you know, when it pertains to Minnesota, or we heard this last week with Philadelphia, well, wait till we see what they do in the playoffs. Wait till they see what they do in the playoffs. You could say that about every single team, with the exception of two. You can drop the wait till we see what they do in the playoffs with the Patriots and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Every other team, the Rams, anyone all in?
Right.
Vikings?
Eagles.
Maybe you could say that about the Saints. But the Saints are doing something that we've never seen them
different
done.
Different version, yeah.
I'm still like, hey, what is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
And what they did yesterday, they won again.
Yes, they did.
What they did yesterday was absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, I think the top of the NFC is fun. I mean, there's good records to show it, but you're trying to separate between the Rams, the Seahawks, the Saints, Minnesota, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We could throw that poll out there, and we might get a bunch of different answers on who's the best. And I think it's game by game, week by week, because, I think the Rams play the Eagles this week. So, I mean, Philly could stub their toe two times in a row, or maybe they bounce right back and beat the Rams. I mean, so there's some good matchups here.
If that game doesn't sell out this weekend in Los Angeles, nothing will.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Saints. Alvin Kamara had 126 scrimmage yards. Kamara has 614 receiving yards, 606 rushing yards, just the third player, both of them Hall of Famers, is the only rookies in NFL history to have at least 600 rushing yards and 600 receiving yards. Meanwhile, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara combined for 248 yards from scrimmage and 3 touchdowns. 5th consecutive game in which those two have combined for 200 scrimmage yards.
Yeah, and I still think one of the biggest plays of that game came really early. Sean Payton's always risky, willing to go for it, goes for a 4th and goal. They give it to Kamara, and he's not going to make it. And he's more of the slippery, you don't hit me because you can't get to me. Well, he got hit hard, and he still blasted through the defense and found his way into the end zone. That, to me, that play, because I know he can get by guys and go around guys when he ran through a guy, I went, okay, this guy's pretty legit.
And Drew Brees still isn't. He's still not feeling it.
I think the mindset is still to continue to strive to get better and strive to play that perfect game. You know, I don't think we've done that yet.
Look out if they haven't.
Yeah,
they're pretty strong. They were good yesterday.
You know, and I kind of feel that way about the Patriots also.
Yeah.
Look at what the Patriots are doing right now. It's like the Patriots are kind of like shifting gears to remind everybody who they are. Remember when they had the worst defense in the league?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So during their 8-game winning streak, the Patriots are allowing a league low 11.9 points per game.
Yeah.
It almost feels like, okay, we'll turn it on. Oh, what's that? We don't have a running game? Okay. All right.
No worries.
We'll figure
that out.
That's right, guys. We don't have a running game.
Yeah.
And then they go out there and run for 100-plus yards in consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
Great teams are showing why they're great at this time of year. And the Vikings, man. I mean, Case Keenum, I'm not going to stop praising the guy now. I absolutely bashed him at the beginning of the year. I thought it was absurd that he was on a roster. I'm glad that it dawned on me here during his great run that the reason he stunk last year was because Jeff Fisher was his coach.
Right.
But they were able to shut down the Falcons, who, no matter what you think about them, had been playing pretty well, really since, I think, the Dallas game. They'd playing really, really well over the course of the last few weeks. Case Keenum, 13 for 13. That was a very close game. Case Keenum was 13 for 13 in the second half, leading the Minnesota Vikings to another win, sitting at 10-2 now.
Yeah, and you're getting some separation in two of the divisions, right? I mean, the Eagles have got their division. The Lions are four games clear. Excuse me, the Vikings are four games clear now of Detroit. It's those other two divisions with the South and the West that you have the division title still on the line.
Stu, best and worst of the weekend now. How about Tiger Woods? And we'll give you our thoughts on the college football playoff as well, as hour number two of the Lowdown kicks off next.